All right, welcome to the Brave Journey. Yeah. Hey, I'm Chuck Mingo, campus pastor, and you know, if you're like me, you probably know places in your life that require bravery. Maybe there's a vision that you've wanted to pursue, but fear has kept you from it. Or maybe there's a change you've wanted to make, but this scaling the wall of resistance has kept you from the change that you know is best for your life. Well, I tell you what, I really believe over the next 6 weeks, that can change for you. That can change for you because God invites us to adventure. He calls us to be brave. That's the journey you're invited to join us on, and it starts right now.
There was a time when the earth was uncharted, the seas unknown. Dark rumors told of sea monsters circling the deep and treacherous waters. Old maps warned, beyond this point there be dragons. What lay ahead was unknown and to be feared. Brave men and women traded safety and security for boldness and adventure. Set sail over uncertain horizons, drawn by whispers and dreams of fortunes. A new life and new land. According to legend, the explorer Hernan Cortez set sail bound for Mexico to capture the world's richest treasure. It was a voyage that would change the history of the New World. He and his men were vastly outnumbered. Before charging into battle, Cortez rallied his troops one last time. He looked into the eyes of his soldiers and said three simple words that would change everything. Burn the ships. This bold move ensured that there was no turning back. They now faced victory or death. With no option for retreat, they fought knowing their lives hung in the balance. And they won. This story was a journey of great risk and the courage to take a bold step. We are all called to take new territory, find the new world in our own lives, to be bold enough to face our fears and answer Jesus' call to bravery, to step out onto the water, no matter the cost, and follow him into adventure.
If there be dragons beyond this, daggers upon us, I'll keep my eyes upon us. You'll keep me honest. When we see trouble before us, liars in chorus, darkness, life left to harness. Burn the ships, we don't need them, 'cause we aren't going back the way we came. Burn
One of the first stories that captured my imagination in the Bible occurred in this very place. By the way, welcome to Brave Journey. Occurred right in this very place, Israel. I'm in Israel right now, and I'm on a body of water known as the Sea of Galilee. And I'm in conditions that weren't too unlike how this scene took place, where there was fishermen in the midst of a storm, in the midst of wind, and they started to get a bit freaked out. This whole journey is inspired by what took place on this very body of water. In fact, we had to get a little out of the shipping lanes because there are fishermen still to this day that work this body of water. And it's an unusual body of water because there's a cut in the mountainside, and out of nowhere there can be wind that whips through there and whips this body of water into a frenzy. This is back before the days of the Weather Channel and all the rest, and you'd be out and all of a sudden, bam, you're in deep, deep, deep storm. I don't know if you've ever met any fishermen before, but they're salty crew. I mean, it's not just that they smell like salt and they taste like salt. I've never tasted one. I don't recommend that. But it's not just that, but their language is salty. These are gnarly, manly men. It says something about Jesus, that the people he called into his inner circle and did life with were people who were ruffians, who had rough edges and weren't afraid to be out in the element. And while they were out one time, the water kicked up and these guys got afraid. I'll tell you what, when a fisherman gets afraid on the water, it's a bad day. It's a really, really bad day. It takes bravery, not just to get through that, but go to a complete new place. So they're hunkered down. Boat is being tossed back and forth, a wooden boat, just like this one. And off in the distance, they see a figure. And they're looking. And one of them, Peter, says, Is that Jesus? Is that Jesus? And he calls out to him and says, Jesus, if that's you, call me out to you. So he looks out and he says, Is that Jesus out there? Guys, is that Jesus who you see out there? And he leans out and says, Hey Jesus, if that's you, invite me to come out to you. Jesus does exactly that. He says, come on out. So he gets up in the boat. He tries to feel the water, and it's a bit too far down. He probably can't get his leg all the way down. And there's got to be a moment of faith where he just drops down on it. What do you know? He stops. It's holding him. And he keeps his eyes on Jesus, and he starts to walk towards him. Then it says, but then he noticed the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. That moment, Jesus goes and he picks him up and says to him, oh, you have little faith. In other words, you were doing really, really well, my friend, until you took your eyes off of me and started looking at all the circumstances in your life. A lot of people look at that story and they think that Peter is some spiritual simpleton. Well, if only Peter would have kept his eyes on Christ and not looked at all the wind and waves, he would have been fine. You know, that's a stupid interpretation of that story. We're talking about Peter because he was the one guy who was brave. He was the one guy who was brave enough to try something new. No one's sitting around going, yeah, and then there was Andrew, who was one of the 12 disciples, and he sat there and he was the safe one. He understood it was a bad idea and he stayed right where he was. No one's talking about Andrew. No one's going, yeah, and then John. Man, everyone loved John because John loved safety. And John just sort of hunkered down in the world that he knew, and he didn't try risk. We're talking about Peter because he was brave and he tried something new. Guess what? Anytime you want to grow, it's going to mean you're going to have to try something new, and you're going to have to be brave. You're going to have to try something that you've never tried, and all the other losers in your life are not willing to try it either. It means you're going to have to stop doing something that all the other people that you know are still doing. And that way, you're brave by starting something new. It means you're going to have to do something like, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to commit to 6 weeks every week coming to Crossroads and being engaged. It means you're going to have to try something new like a small group. I've heard about those things. They sound kind of freaky to me, but you know, I need to try something different to grow. I'm going to do one of these small group things for 6 weeks. It means I'm going to have to try to do this stuff at home. I'm going to have to get the app on my on my mobile. I have to go to the computer and do what I need to do. I need to get engaged on my own, in my own personal space. Hey, don't let this opportunity pass you by. There's been a lot of creativity and a lot of effort gone into preparing you for spiritual growth right now, and I'm asking you to be brave. I'm asking you to try something that's unusual, and in the end, you might get wet, but guess what? You're going to get closer to Christ than anybody else was who was just staying where they were. So let the journey begin, and let's start it by doing something brave right now. Why don't we all stand? Wherever you are, Mason, Florence, Westside, Oakley, Clifton, let's all stand right now. That's right, you and Clifton, that's right, you hear me. Why don't we stand right now, and let's connect with God, or allow this song to move us closer to Him.
Strong.
His love is fierce, His love is strong, it is furious. His love is sweet, His love is wild, and it's waking hearts to life. Heavenly Father, You always amaze me. Let Your kingdom come in my world and in my life. Give me the food I need to live through the day. And forgive me as I forgive the people that wronged me. Lead me far from temptation, deliver me from the evil one. Yeah. Look out the window, the birds are composing. Not a note is out of tune.
Water, the source of life, the universal solvent. When water is present, life flourishes. Animals gather, foliage thrives, humans build, and life is full. But when it's scarce, we're reminded of our dependence on water by our thirst. A thirst that drives us to countless counterfeits. But what if that thirst could be quenched at a moment's notice? God offers His Spirit, His living water, to not only sustain us, but to cause us to thrive. Jesus told a thirsty soul that whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. His offer still stands for us today.
Bathe my trembling heart and brow. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come, oh, come and fill me now. Hover over, Holy Spirit. Trembling heart and brow, fill me with your holy presence. Come, oh, come and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Spirit, come and fill. In myself I'm full of weakness. Can you use this life somehow? Cleanse and comfort, heal and teach me. Come, oh, come and fill me now.
Fill me now, fill me now, Spirit, come and fill me now. Fill me now, fill. Presence and letting us be with you and hearing us sing. I just pray that that happens more and more and more, and that you just make yourself more known in this place and people's lives all in this building. And I thank you for that, God. Amen. So good. So good. Won't you guys? You can clap. That's good. All right, meet one person around you and ask them what their latest adventure was. You can have a seat.
These guys sang well, didn't they, ladies? Sang very well. Hey, and let's thank these guys for leading us really well today. That was really, really strong. Thank you, guys. Well, welcome to Crossroads. My name is Brian, and this is the beginning of what we call around here the all-church journey. Now, you might be going, oh, what the, yes, excitement. What the heck is all-church journey? What's the beginning of this? Well, it's actually some learnings we've had over 19 years where we've noticed that, believe it or not, when our church has grown the most in terms of leaning into each other, having team spirit, and individuals in our church growing the most spiritually, believe it or not, it's when we've had three financial campaigns. And the magic there isn't that you're talking about money with a multi-sensory experience. It's that the whole church is going someplace at the same time with things beyond the weekend. We realize, gosh, maybe we ought to do these every once in a while, these campaigns, if you will, but money not be the central topic. There'd be some other spiritual topic. And so we've been doing this, picking one out like every year, every 18 months. And we say, okay, let's dive into this as a community. We're going to do this. And hopefully all of us individually are going to grow spiritually as our whole church grows together. So it's not just the weekend. It's homework that we give you that you can do in the privacy of your own home. It's a multi-sensory prayer experience that we're going to have coming up. It's getting into small groups. And sure enough, we've seen it. When this happens, we grow. And so this year, I'm excited about the topic and get us kicked off as far as the teaching portion. So let's pray before I go any further. God, you're good to be patient with us. I know you've been patient with us, and you've been designing many of your people to be here right now today. I believe that. You've designed people and destined to be right here today because this is exactly what they need to hear. It's the right message at the right time. It's the right journey at the right time. It's the right intensive experience for the right people at the right time. And so help me to be in sync with your heart and in sync with your will. And may all that I say be honoring to you in your heart. And I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So the big topic for this journey is brave. Brave. Why would bravery be the major thing we feel we need to dig into? Or there's a number of signs that we've noticed. One is that whenever we have people sort of text things in as part of a service or send things in, we notice that many things that come in are centered around worry or fear. I'm worried about this. I'm concerned about that. Inversely, whenever I give a message or we have a message here on getting over fear or getting over worry, it's the most downloaded message out of our website. And we just notice over and over again, when there's something that you want to do, it's going to mean you're going to have to do something new, and it means you're going to have to be brave. We have entrepreneurs, probably per capita, we probably have more entrepreneurs in a Crossroads building than just about any other building around the city. And some of them are clapping right now. And I'll tell you why I think that is. I think it's because when you're an entrepreneur, you have to be brave, and that's a regular topic around here. We're sort of in the water, if you will, and so entrepreneurs feel a level of freedom and a level of equipping to perhaps do what they or what you need to do. Every time, you're going to spiritually grow, you're going to have to do something new, and anytime you do something new, it's going to come down to what your BQ is. Yes, what your bravery quotient is. Your BQ, your capacity to try something different, to do something where you don't have all the answers, where you're not guaranteed a certain outcome, where you've never done it before, that capacity, and we're going to build that capacity. That capacity that you have is directly tied to how many new things you do, and the new things you do are directly tied to how you're getting ahead in life, in any area, but specifically for this series, how you're getting ahead spiritually. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 7, 29, verse 16, it says this, without vision, the people perish. If we don't have a direction, if we don't have a place to go, we're going to die. Many of us are spiritually dying. We go through the motions. We show up church when we need to or do this or that, but we're spiritually dying because there's not a vision for where we're going. This first week of the journey is all about getting our heading, knowing where we're going and why we're going there, getting our heading. That's where a vision is. I see where I'm going, and I'm going to go that direction. And when you have a heading, when you have a vision, you're going to have to be brave to do it. Now, if you've been around Crossroads for any length of time, I think that for some I have this sort of reputation of being somewhat fearless. Not true at all. In fact, being fearless and being brave are two different things. Being fearless is just this, like, things don't freak you out like they would freak other people out. That's being fearless. Brave is when there is a specific vision, a heading you're going to take, and you have to get over something in order to get that thing. I'm not a fearless person. In fact, if you look at my history, there's a lot of things that other people are way, way, way more higher capacity to do difficult things than I am. Like when I was growing up, we would go out and build tree forts. They were awesome. Most of us under 30 are going, tree fort? What the heck is that? You mean like you had a contractor come over and erect some 6x6 posts in your backyard? No. We used to have these things called woods. It was awesome. We lived over these places called woods, and I have no idea who owned them, but there was woods, and we would go out, me and my friends, we'd steal our dad's hammers and take their nails, their coffee cans of nails, and take whatever scrap wood we could, and on the way there, we'd see a house under construction, we'd steal some 2x4s, and we would head out. I guess I broke that 10th commandment. I probably should go back and pay that company off, but they probably went out of business by now. But we would go out, and you know, when you're trying to conserve wood and nails and everything, you have to get way up there to build this like treehouse, because the point was, let's get a treehouse that we can play spin the bottle in. That's the whole point. Not with us who are building it, but we'll invite some other, you know, ladies up in here. And so we take these pieces of wood, and you kind of hammer them in, and when you don't have any money, you're trying to stretch everything out. So we're taking these itty-bitty blocks of wood and putting like 1 8-penny nail in, going up, and I was always the guy who wasn't willing to go highest. Everybody else would climb higher than me. I'd be, no, dude, let's build it down this level. No, it's gonna, because I just didn't have a fearless, I had more fear about heights than my friends did. We'd go out and we'd ride bicycles, and dudes would be doing jumps on our little Roadmaster one-speed or Huffy one-speed bicycles, and I never did a jump. And if it was real little and I could go over it slow so my front tire could just boop, go down, I would. I didn't have a level of fearlessness to go over jumps. Now, I broke my arm a couple times, but that was by accident, not because I intentionally, well, I rode without my hands and broke my arm, but for the most part, I wasn't doing risky things. To this day, I've never attempted a backflip in a pool. All my kids do put backflips. My wife does backflips. Like, come on, I did it. No, never done it. Never done it. I don't know many guys who are somewhat athletic who've never tried one. I just didn't see the point. Like, why would I do that? I could do a back flapper, or I could, you know, break my neck. I'm just not prone to do things that I don't see a point to. I have a friend of mine who really tries to get me to go skydiving with them. I'm like, I'm not like anti-skydiving. I'm not going to say never ever, but it's like, just to have a buzz, what's the point? You know, my heading is going to be come down to the ground. I don't want to waste my bravery on that. See, we're not talking. We're not saying, hey, let's all take risks just for the sheer enjoyment of adrenaline. It's about saying, where am I going? And this first week, as we do our work, is all about helping us understand where we're going to go in our journey. So then when it comes to bravery, it's different for me. So starting Crossroads, people who had fear issues back in Pittsburgh where I live said, don't do it, man, don't do it. You're going to leave your denomination, the safety net, you're leaving all your friends. But there was a heading, there was a vision to help start a church that had, for people who had given up on church but hadn't given up on God. And so bravery to get there, I could muster because I could see the point. We had an amazing week a couple weeks ago with Compassion International, didn't we? Wasn't that fun, those who were around? Where we partner with the organization, we were giving money, individuals are, to Compassion to feed and educate a child for the rest of their childhood over in Nicaragua. And it was the most successful day in Compassion International's history. By any metric. They were thinking 2,000 kids. We did over 6,000 kids were fed and educated for the rest of their childhood because of you and me made a commitment. Now, why were they thinking so much, and why do we go so high? Not just because we have a great caliber of person who comes to Crossroads, but because we really went for it. We did some creative things that Compassion's never done before. We tried some new things because it's real tempting to go like, well, let's just let people know this, but this could really hurt us as a church. So let's not put our best creative energies into it. But we had a heading of something we felt God wanted us to do, and we went after that. My son and I have a pretty good relationship, and it's because I had a vision to do a heading when he was young to, let's try to develop a friendship between he and I forever. And so when he was 16, 17 years old, I got him started riding motorcycles. It still freaks me out a bit to this day when he gets, now he's way older now, but when he gets on his bike and leaves the house, I honestly, a part of me just does not like it at all. Why would I do that? It's because I had a vision to bond with my son in some way, shape, or form. Going out west, going 90 miles an hour. I just told you, I shouldn't have told you. Out west in the wide open spaces, there was a bonding thing. And Lib and I both had to count the cost and say, it's right. Let's out of bravery do this, because the vision, the heading, is to establish something that will establish a lifelong friendship when he gets out of the house. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is. I don't know what your heading is going to be. I don't know what your vision is going to be. I'm telling you, it's a vision because you're not doing it right now. And why are you not doing it right now? Because you don't have enough bravery to do it right now. And we're going to help us foster that character quality. Luke chapter 5, we see a classic scene of bravery with Jesus, with principles that we're all going to have to tap into for the next 6 weeks. Here's how the story goes. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, also known as Sea of Galilee, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, who later on was named Peter, so if I flip-flop back and forth over those names, please forgive me, which was Simon Peter's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. A few interesting things here about this passage here. Number of different words. Check out here. We got crowd. We've got people, plural here. We got fishermen, men, plural again, them. What's going on here? We got to understand that there's a lot of people. First big idea we're all going to have to experience is bravery happens in front of other people. We're never brave when we're in our own houses. We're never brave when we're watching our television by ourselves. We're never brave when we're having personal prayer time with God. We're never brave when we're doing a personal retreat. As much as all those things are necessary and okay, bravery always happens in front of other people. That's why the critical thing that you have got to do if you want to grow to the extreme spiritually this journey, you have to get in a small group. Now, I'm not saying you have to or else you're not welcome at Crossroads. I'm saying if you want more of God, you're going to have to do it. If you think that you can grow spiritually to the level that you want and just kind of come in here in a dark room, whatever campus that we're in, and do your app homework, you or go to the prayer experience just on your own, those things will take you a bit, but I'm telling you, you have to be around other people. I think back in my life, honestly, I think every significant thing I've ever experienced in God has been with other people. Now, I have personal time with God every morning, and I interact with God there, and those things are very important, but if you have me like list the top 10 times when I sense God the most, at least 9 of them, I would say, yeah, and I was with this group of people, I was with these friends, I was in this place. We cannot grow spiritually if we're not going to get out in front of other people. No question for me, part of the reason why I feel somewhat competent in my job, it wasn't because I went to college, though I'm glad I did. It wasn't because I graduated from seminary, though I'm glad I did. It's because when I was in college, I was training for ministry with a bunch of young bucks like myself. We lived in the same house. And in that house, we were able to feed off of one another's energy. It wasn't just that we did stupid things. Like, we used to take bow and arrow. One day we found a bow and arrow in the house. So, what happens if we shoot this up in the air? I wonder how high we can do it. And then when someone had the idea, let's take a door off of our door frame and see if we can catch the arrow when it comes back down. No lie, so we'd put it up, and I'm telling you, it would go up so far you couldn't see it. And then we'd sit there waiting for it, and all of a sudden it landed like 50 yards behind us in the Episcopal Church's roof. I kid you not, St. Stephen's Church in Swickley. So we're going, what? So okay, so we adjust it, it's coming up, out there, it's a thrill. When you see an arrow coming down, and you're holding the door, both guys, and bam, it comes right, that's awesome. That is utterly awesome. Don't try this at home, kids. By the way, that wasn't fearlessness, that was just stupidity. I had no idea how stupid that was. Anyway, I talked that story, but really the foundation was, man, I'd give a talk and I'd have 6 guys tell me what I could do differently. We'd try to take kids to camp, and there was a positive peer pressure that let's all exert energy to go and recruit kids who might have their lives affected by God and infected by God. There was somebody who would see somebody do one way and say, man, you need to keep doing that. That's awesome. It was the communal, no question. I don't care what my grades would have been in a classroom. Had I not had that, I'm not who I am, and Crossroads isn't what it is. It's all because of people that were around. Eric Greitens, who's a former Navy SEAL and works with vets with post-traumatic stress syndrome or disorder, says this. The reality is that great risk takers often have a safe place to retreat to, a place of confidence and security that enables them to dare greatly. Children who fall from the tree to the arms of their loving parents. Adults retreat to their homes, to their spouses, to their friends, or to their hobbies. We have to have a small group to retreat to. You've got to do that. You're not late. You're not late. You're right on time. We're going to tell you how to do that in a little bit. You're right on time. Let's see how the story continues here now. Now, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Jesus tells someone to put out. You wouldn't think Jesus would tell somebody that, but put out. So maybe he does want you to put out in the appropriate way. What is he talking about here? In fact, it happens twice here. Happens twice, where Jesus says, push off from beyond where you are. Go to a different place. Go to a new place. Push off from beyond where you are right now. Bravery fuels the new. Bravery fuels the new. Push off and go out to the deep. Now, I remember when I first went into the deep end. It was at Murraysville Swim Club. And I remember the deep end. It freaked me out. Before I went there, I'm going, my gosh, is the water the same there as it is here in the 3-foot end? Just out of curiosity, how many of us can remember the first time you went into the deep end at a pool? Raise your hand. How many of us? Yeah. I mean, how many of us can remember the first time we used dandruff shampoo? Okay. How many of us can remember the first time you went to fast food? How many of us can remember the first time you ran a red light? I mean, I can go on. There's something about when we're brave, it locks something in. Remember, I remember going, oh my gosh, I don't know, but is my treading water stroke still going to work here? Maybe that water over there is like goo. I don't know. Is it going to work? And I can't see down 12 feet down. I don't know what's down there. Is Jaws down there? It was right after Jaws. I'm like going, oh my gosh, something's going to come up and get me. It freaked me out. That's the deep end does. We're going into the deep end. This series, a place where we haven't been before, place of introspection, a place of interaction with one another. See, it's called bravery for a reason. It's not called common knowledge. Once you go into the deep end, you've been there a while with other people, then there's common knowledge of how you behave in the deep end, but in the front end, it's never common knowledge. Because, you know, you never grow through common knowledge. You never grow by doing better the things you're doing right now. You never grow by finally accepting common knowledge. You never grow. Common knowledge is good. Good systems and processes are good. It's just that's not the way that you grow. The way you grow is to try something new. And that's why every single person in the Bible, every single person who's in the Bible who you read about that I can remember right now, we read about and we're inspired by because they did something new. Abraham starts a new nation. Noah builds a new thing called an ark. People go, what the heck is an ark you're building on land? It's a new thing. God does new covenants. He gives new prophecies. He does a new thing. Jesus talks about new wineskins. His followers go on new missionary journeys to cities they've never been to before and no one they know has ever been to it before. Deborah, in the Old Testament, the first woman who has a macro leadership responsibility in the nation of Israel. She's going home, but she's going, I don't know. Just like Abraham's going, I don't know if I can go start a new nation. Noah's going, I don't know if I can do this. Deborah's going, I don't know. Can I do this? And she does. She does a good job. It's the first one. It's the first one. All these people were heroes because they did something brave, not because they kept doing the tested methods better and better and better. We don't grow to new places by just doing current systems more efficiently. It doesn't work that way. So Jesus says, put out, push out, go out to the deep water. And here's what Peter says, Simon says. Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking.
They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Simon is going, dude, I know that you do a lot of good teaching. I know you do a lot of good healing, but how about you leave the fishing to the fishermen? I don't tell you to teach. Don't tell me how to fish. I don't tell you how to do miracles. Don't you tell me how to troll through the water for fish. I mean, we are things, Rabbi, you got your goods over here, but over here in the real world, you got to catch fish for a living. I know this. I'm pretty darn good at it. Jesus says, no, put out, push out. See, what Jesus asked him to do is something that's different than he would normally do. Because it's lunchtime right now, it's noontime, and any fisherman in any, virtually any body of water knows the worst time to catch fish is noontime. You want to get them in the morning when they're hungry. You want to get them at night when they have a little good night snack they want. But you in the afternoon, they're tired, the hot water is heating up, and they want to get down deep. It's just not optimal fishing time. But Jesus says, try something new. Try something new. And this isn't going to be death-defying bravery, but when you do something new, it requires us to be brave. And as a result, there is going to be a breakthrough. Breakthrough comes from bravery. Bravery brings breakthrough. They've been out fishing, and they haven't gotten anything. And they decide, okay, actually, it's interesting here. You've heard of BYOB? This is an interesting one because Simon says BAYW, but at your word. This is the BAYW party, the but at your word party. He doesn't want to do it. He's never heard of this before, but he says, all right, I trust you enough to take this step, but at your word. You're not going to agree with and understand everything that you're going to be asked to do. But you're going to have to say, but God, at your word, I will do it. I love the scene of they're going, okay, we'll go do it. We'll put out, we'll push off. They go out, they take their nets. So I can kind of sense them going, yeah, you want us to do it. Kind of like your kids, like, okay, I'll do it. I'll go rake the lawn. They kind of drag a rake along. They don't really want to do it. Probably take these nets and go, happy now, there they are, and they let them like drift there for a while, and then they go to pull them in, and it's like, they can't get them. Now, there's something crazy that's just taken place here, and we don't know what's happened. Did Jesus tell them to put out because he's got some Superman x-ray vision, and he can see, and he sees there's a school of fish that's kind of planted there? I don't know. Does he know, is he tapping into his divine qualities as God, the God who knits us together in our womb, the God who understands the placement of every deer, every dog, every badger in the entire world, and he taps into that and goes, I just know, I see it. There's a school of fish right there, and I want to school these guys on what bravery looks like. We don't know how it happens, but it happens. He has them hover right over top of this massive school of fish that happens to be there, and now they can't get it in. So they call over the other way, hey guys, come over here, help. They come over and they get in there and they're pulling these suckers up, and they, as they're bringing it up, water's gushing out, and they get it over the gully of the boat, and boom, and you can almost imagine this boat just starts to sink. It's down low, up against the sides. They're getting their oars out, they're trying to haul it in, they can't believe this. And as this thing is coming into land, and they pull these fish, there's this massive catch of fish, the best catch of fish they've ever seen in the worst conditions they've ever fished in. And Peter just drops to his knees, and he says, Lord, I'm an unclean man. I'm an unclean man. Depart from me. I'm not worthy. I just get it right now. He has amazing encounter with the divine, and it's only because he was brave. It's only because he did what Jesus told him to do. But at your word. It says there that they were astonished. They were astonished. Where is that word? I'm trying to find here. It's in there. Oh, there it is.
astonished. When's the last time you were astonished? When's the last time you saw something of God that just blew you away? I don't know what that time was for you, but here's what I know preceded it. You passing the BAYW test. That's what happened before it. I know what happened before it is you did something brave. That's the last time you were astonished because you realized, oh my gosh, God is faithful. His ways do work. He is beyond me. Astonished. I want us to be astonished this 6 weeks. I want us to get a grasp of God, an awareness of his personality, and an awareness of his presence that we never thought possible. And you can only do that if you are brave. What's the last new thing that you've tried? What's the last new thing you did? Most people, we don't do anything new after college or high school because someone's forcing us to it. Because when we do new things, it always requires us to be brave. We feel like we're uncomfortable. We don't feel like we're adequate. We're not sure how it's going to work out. And therefore, we don't have to lean into God, and therefore, we don't experience with God, and we don't have breakthroughs. Every breakthrough you will ever have will always and only be because you do something new and you're brave. Only. Better management will never give you a breakthrough. More efficient processes will never give you a breakthrough. Upholding moral standards will never give you a breakthrough. All those things are fine. Do those things. But you will never have a breakthrough, like explosion to something different, unless you get on a different plane, the plane of God, who's asking you and I to put out and be different and try different things. The Ansari X Prize, a space competition where they were funding, a guy was trying to fund private space exploration, and if you made it twice in your own private spacecraft, the same one, in a two-week period, you would be awarded $10 million. And the owner of the group that actually did it, part owner, he said this, "The day before something is truly a breakthrough, it's a crazy idea." Day before, it's always the way it works. The day before, it's a crazy idea. We've been having some major breakthroughs around here. One of them was our Easter service. We had fun at Easter last week. That was, man, great. I tell you, from my perspective, that took a lot of bravery. When I had that idea pitched to me in November that we were going to go and film a bunch of stuff in February for an Easter service, I'm going, oh, whoa. And how many people are going to take over there? Have you done like the math on this? Whoa. Easter, like, wait, isn't that a time when people like actually want to see somebody talk? You're telling me I won't be on any stage at any crossroads, I can actually take the weekend off? Which I didn't on Saturday. I went around to the other site, so I had no clue. It was awesome. But Sunday, yeah, I did nothing on Sunday. It was awesome. It's great. I was like a normal person. It was sweetness. So, but you know, now we look at that. It's like, well, that wasn't a crazy idea. Oh, yeah, people love Israel and love seeing teaching. And having the multi-sensory tactile thing was really cool to have a box here and dirt here that match here. Blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, oh, yeah, of course we should do that again next year. We'll just keep improving it because that way people know what it's like. They'll invite people. They're ready for a Easter tradition similar to how we have Christmas traditions. Of course. Well, it seems that now, but my gosh, it was a crazy, crazy difficult decision to come to. But it was breakthrough. Gosh, like over 41,000 people showed up. Heard people say, I never understood the blood of Christ, what that means. I never understood the link between Passover and Easter. I never understood. Massive personal spiritual breakthrough happened with a lot of people I talked to. And communally, a breakthrough happened with us as well. But it was a crazy, crazy idea. That teaching, that learning can be applied to your situation right now. As you determine your heading, who is it God's asking you to be? What is it you're supposed to do as you get that heading? You're going to have to be brave. One of the other brave moves that we tried, and by the way, about the Easter, let me just say this too. I'm just so thankful for you all in this church because you give us a great amount of grace to fail. And if I didn't feel like Crossroads was giving us grace to fail, we could never do those risky moves that actually have a payoff. So thank you, everybody. Thank you. It's great being on it. It's really great being on the same team with you. That sort of energy is what enables us to do risky things. Another one was, we're not going to have any paper this year. If you've done a journey before, you know we love to have these nice slick guides that are your own personal journal. There's no paper this year. We're not doing that. So I was asked, hey, we want to do an app. I was like, app? I don't know. It is awesome. It is awesome. There are no paper copies of any journey guide to get, partially because all of our tree houses killed all the trees and there's not enough trees to print all those pieces of wood. All that. No, there's not. It is environmentally friendly, but it's also, as you go to the Brave, I'm going to give you a video right now to show you how to do this. You're going to be able to download it to an app or access it from any computer, and it's immersive. It's actually way more effective. It's way more potent. I'm telling you, it's powerful. And it's a new thing that's going to serve you really, really well. And why are we doing these new things? Because we want to go to new places. Why are we trying? We want to go to new places. We want more of God. We want more of God in this place. We want us to feel more of God. And to do that, we have to be brave. Only those who are brave in this room are going to do something new. And only those who are doing something new are you going to have a spiritual breakthrough. Are you up for that? You should be. Yes. Okay. We're going to do some logistical things in just a moment, but let's take a look at a video that's going to help us understand how to use this app. And while we do that, we're also going to be able to be generous. If you're brand new today, hey, we're excited you're here. Just allow us to serve you. But you've been around, you know, this is how we kind of fund the infrastructure that does the things that we're doing around here, funds things like apps, funds things like helping people in poverty all around the world. And so you can put something in a bag that comes by you or go to crossroads.net/give, and we're also going to give you another gift when you leave today, which is going to be a little heading you can put on your window in your car or someplace else. But to get us ready to understand this and hear from Chuck, let's take a look at this video.
This is the Brave app. It's pretty great. You can download it right from Apple's App Store or the Google Play Store. Just go to either store and search for Brave Crossroads. Oh, say yes to push notifications. It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a compatible device, no worries. You can access the Brave app online at thebravejourney.com. Then, set up your profile. It's the usual stuff. Name, email, profile pic. All right, you're in.
Yes.
Think of Brave as a game. Each week, you move through levels, answering questions and completing challenges. And along the way, you'll get badges. Everybody loves badges. The Brave app is designed to be done together. Click on that profile pic to find people in your Brave group, send messages, and stay connected. When it's group time, the app is like a party game with questions and challenges to help you process your journeys together. So that's the Brave app. You're going to love it.
All right. Yeah. So who's ready to jump in the deep end?
Yeah.
Awesome. Me too. And I want to give you the pertinent details for you to get moving, get connected, and start going to a new place today. First, if you're a parent or if you're a student, I want to tell you about two things that are happening pretty soon. First, next Sunday is our next big event. 1,400 plus students, 6th to 12th grade, having a party atmosphere, incredible worship, and great teaching. If you're a student, you need to be there. It's going to be amazing. Amazing. Parents also want you to know we're doing a summer camp for students around Crossroads. And if you want your student in on that after the last service, after the next service today, you can come back for an info session. So wanted you to know those two things are happening. Now, for all of us who are going to do Brave, now it's time to dig in. So all that I'm going to talk about, you'll find here. Also, any question that's remaining after I share these details, find someone like me in a blue shirt out there. We're all around. We'll answer any questions you have. So the two big things. First, download the app. You saw how to do that on the video. If you have any questions about that, go to the info center, find a person in the blue shirt. We will download it for you. We will make sure you have what you need. If you don't have a smartphone, no worries. Like Brian said, you can go to thebravejourney.com. And you can do it on any computer, library, coffee house, wherever, that has access to the internet. So we want everybody on board and engaged. If that's a struggle and issue, you still have questions, again, find a blue shirt and we will help you out. So everybody, just want you to do that and feel really comfortable with that. Second thing, get in a group. Get in a group. How many people are already in a group?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Some of you hosting groups. And so I want you to know, if you're not in a group yet, according to Crossroads time, you are not late. You are right on time. You are right on time. We are a last minute culture and you are right on time. So here's how you can make sure that even today before you leave, you're plugged in and connected to a group first, you might be thinking about some friends in your life and say, hey, we could do this together. So do that. Get with those friends. Make sure everybody's downloaded the app. Find each other via the app so you can message each other. And then just jump in. Find a time once a week to meet and go through the group material. The other thing you can do is go online. There's over 700 groups posted online. So there's a group for every day of the week, every part of town. So if that's where you want to go to find a group, do that. The other thing is, right after the service, in meeting rooms A and B, which is right out and over in this direction, we're having a Find a Group event. And so we will plug you into groups. We've got some of those groups listed. We've got volunteers in blue shirts ready to help you find a group before you leave today. So for everyone here, we want you to get connected and plugged in, because the growth that you experience, the change and transformation, is going to be exponential if you engage in a group. So we want that for everybody here. So that's the deal. That's the deal. And I want you to know we are very, very excited and happy to go in this new direction of the app and all the technology. And again, if you have any questions, ask a blue shirt. One final thing before I let you go. God is amazing, and we've got a bunch of new people here. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but God is continuing to grow this place. I think we have new people who are coming back just for the journey. I want to say a special welcome to you. Because of that, it's crazy in the parking lot, and we know it. And we got one more turnaround to go. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Our parking team knows what they're doing. I need you guys to trust them as they guide you out of here today. And I need you to get out of here as quickly as you can so we can get the next service in. But if you need to go to the Connect event, by the Find a Group event, again, meeting room A and B. But it's an exciting day. Who's ready to go to a new place? Awesome. It starts right now, and we will see you guys next week.